Well, my job this morning, brothers and sisters, is to, Lord willing, set the stage for everything else that's going to be said and done this morning, because this morning we have the wonderful privilege of ordaining Mark Appleton as an elder here at Crossway. But it's important to understand that in the broader context of what God is doing in his church, that through the person and finished work of Jesus Christ and by the power of his Holy Spirit, God is building his church. We are gathered here this morning because God is building his church. God is purchasing a redeemed people for his own glory. And part of the means by which God is doing that is through the giving of gifts to his church. Even more, the scriptures tell us that if you are a part of the church of Jesus Christ by virtue of the fact that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, right, united to him by faith, then each one of us in God's church has been gifted by God with a certain measure of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, right? Each one of us, empowered by God's Spirit, is then called to use the gifts that God has given to each one of us for the common good of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us to serve the church by stewarding the gifts and the grace that God has given to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us. And so, though there are many parts and many gifts, it is as each part is doing its part that the church then grows and matures and builds itself up into the knowledge and the image and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 tells us. And it is among then these varied gifts that God graces and has given to his church that the Bible then addresses the specific gift of elders, qualified men that God has called and graced to serve his church in this particular and specific role. There are more than a dozen New Testament passages that specifically address elders and or eldership, making it abundantly clear, I think, that elders are not optional, but are in fact integral to God's plan for his church as God builds his church. And so Mark's ordination this morning is really the celebration of God's kindness to us as a church. It is the provision of God's gifts to us as a church, God's gift to us. It's an expression of God's care. It's an expression of God's work among us as a church. It's an expression of God's faithfulness to us as a church. But what exactly is an elder, and what exactly is an elder called to do? Well, in answering that, I think it's important to note that the New Testament uses a variety of interchangeable vocabulary to describe what an elder is and what an elder does, using words like overseer, words like pastor. But perhaps there is no more descriptive, and I think thus informative, word for elder in the New Testament than the term shepherd. That an elder is primarily a shepherd. In Acts chapter 20, Paul told the Ephesian elders to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock. And no doubt when Peter gave that instruction, he was recalling the very instruction that the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd himself, had actually given to Peter when Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 16, Peter, shepherd my sheep. And so an elder is to tend to the church like a shepherd tends to the sheep. He is not simply the manager of machinery in the church. He is not simply the overseer of programs, but he's called to people, to be among the people, to be with the people, to care for the people, never forgetting that they are the flock of God's people. And therefore, his jobs or his responsibilities include things like feeding the flock of God's people. The shepherd feeds the sheep. When Jesus told Peter in John chapter 21 to shepherd my sheep, he also said in the very same breath, feed my lambs. Right, Peter, shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs. And this feeding is primarily with the food of God's word. Right, this was Jesus' own example. We read in Mark chapter 6 how Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were like, Jesus' words, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he, quote, began to teach them many things, right? Feeding them with the soul-nourishing truth of God's word. But a shepherd's job not only includes feeding the sheep, but it includes leading the sheep, right? Plotting a course forward, moving them to where they ought to be, moving them to where God himself wants them to be. But this is to be done by example, right? That elders, that shepherds are to lead, not by lording it over those in your charge, but by being examples to the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 tells us. In fact, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, telling them that no servant was greater than his master and that he had given them an example to follow, to do just as he had done. In fact, Jesus redefined leadership when he explained to his disciples that true greatness was actually found in servanthood. For even he did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many, Mark 10, verse 45. And therefore, elders, shepherds, lead not only by example, but through servant leadership, right? Not simply telling people what to do or telling people where to go, but showing them, demonstrating to them, walking with them, setting the example, serving the people. Moreover, not only do they feed and lead the sheep, but they must protect the flock of God's people. Again, when Paul was addressing the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he warned them that, quote, fierce wolves would come, not sparing the flock, and therefore to be alert. And thus a shepherd must lead and feed and serve and care for the sheep, alert to the dangers that they face. And thus sometimes, in order to care for and feed and lead and serve and protect the sheep, the shepherd at times must go after the strays. And thus, at times, it can be a messy, it can be a difficult, it can be a painful, it can be a hard task to shepherd God's sheep. But this is the very heart of God himself. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read, "But this is what the Lord God says. See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them, as a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will look for my flock." Jesus echoed this very heart when he described the shepherd who was willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. The shepherd protects the flock. The shepherd goes after the flock. And that is why the elder, the shepherd of God's flock, must also plead for the sheep. He must plead for the sheep. Right? His entire ministry must be constantly bathed in prayer, knowing that what the sheep ultimately need is not him, but God himself. An elder knows that he is not enough for what God's people need, and therefore he constantly carries the flock of God to the throne of God in prayer. Right, when the early church in Acts chapter 6 was growing, and along with it, the practical needs of the church was thus growing, nevertheless, the apostles, the elders of the church in Jerusalem knew that they must be, quote, devoted to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Right? That a shepherd must feed and lead and serve and care for and protect the sheep, all the while pleading for the sheep. Finally, the elder, the shepherd, does all of this conscious of an eternal weight. Conscious of an eternal weight, that there will one day be an account given to the good shepherd himself as to how they cared for the flock of God's people. So we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, this charge, which is given both to the church and to its elders, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And so, with eternity in view, an elder must shepherd God's flock, feeding God's flock, leading God's flock, serving, protecting God's flock, pleading for God's flock. And brothers and sisters, it is to this holy and noble task that Mark is committing himself to this day. And all of God's people said, amen.
Well, this is definitely an exciting time for our church. But to reiterate, it's also an edifying time for our church because God cares for his people. Mark is the right man at the right time to be an elder at our church. God in his providential care for us has raised Mark up to be a shepherd and church leader. I've known Mark for about 10 years. He's a good friend, and I'm excited about him being ordained today as he joins our eldership in leading and shepherding this church. Well, around the fall of 2017, I approached Mark to see if he would consider being a bivocational elder. We were losing Nick Swan as an elder at that time, so we clearly needed to begin seeking men who could potentially serve as elders. I knew Mark was a guy we approached before, years before, but that was not the right time for Mark. So I wondered, is this the right time for him or not? Well, I was glad to know he was very open and willing to consider it and walk through the process of being a bivocational elder. So one of the things that we did to walk through this was to see if this would even work for him. We had to see if he was going to be qualified as an elder, but could this work bivocationally for both him and his family and for us elders? Well, after Mark serving a couple of years as a pastoral intern, I'm glad to say that it did work out, and it's continued working out. But what was that process? Well, JJ and I put together a 2-year elder development process to have Mark go through to further assess him as well as equip him towards eldership as we partner with our denomination for his ordination requirements. In that process with all the elders, we evaluated Mark's character, his calling, his competency, and compatibility. Our questions during this process were these. A lot of questions, but they all had to be answered yes. Does Mark have the character of an elder? Is he a faithful disciple and church member? Does he fulfill the qualifications of an elder according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Is he humble and teachable? Does Mark have an inward sense from God, aspiring to be an elder? Do others like his wife Leah and church members and other elders affirm him as well? Does Mark have the competency to lead, protect, care, and teach God's people with God's word? Is he a proven disciple maker? Is Mark compatible with us elders theologically and relationally? Does Mark have a similar philosophy of ministry as we do? Well, with every one of these questions, we can, with confidence, completely affirm and answer yes to all of them. Mark was willing to go through this rigorous process, and he saw the wisdom necessary to do it. He studied books, wrote papers, took tests, taught and preached, led in a variety of ways, and shared his life and heart with us. God's grace carried him and Leah through this process, even through difficult and life-changing events. During this time, Mark lost his mother. Leah had a baby. They moved into a new house so that Leah's parents can live with him in order to better care for Leah's dad and be closer to Crossway. Then later, Leah lost her father. This wasn't an easy path, to say the least. But how Mark and Leah walked through all of it was clearly evidence of them clinging to Christ, loving their family and their church. Mark has worked hard and faithfully as a pastoral intern, even as he worked full-time at his job as a director of global internet evangelism at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. So why I commend Mark to you as an elder, I think it's obvious, but I just want to say one more thing. I've seen God's grace in Mark as a pastoral intern in these last couple of years in a particular way. I've always respected Mark as a mature, godly man who loves Jesus. I've seen him love his wife and lead his family well. I've seen him disciple and care for people in our church I've seen him teach and preach from God's word. But what I got to learn about Mark as a pastoral intern is his heart for this church pastorally. I saw and heard so much more in our staff meetings on how he thinks. I saw and heard more as he did his call to worship and benedictions and when he preached here. He has much wisdom. He has good pastoral instincts and a heart for God's mission that will serve all of us into the future. I want to personally commend him to you. Mark is a humble man who is confident in the word of God and who loves this church. I trust him immensely. I trust him completely to shepherd the people of God as Christ wants him to. And he is someone who I would want to pastor me and my family. So Mark, I'm excited to serve alongside of you, to be accountable to you, and to learn from you as a fellow elder at Crossway. So let's welcome Leah as she comes up to share.
Well, good morning. I have so much joy in my heart today as we celebrate Mark's calling as an elder here at Crossway. And I'm excited to share just a little bit with you about how I've seen him move forward in faith, leading and ministering to people and to me over these last 20 years. Mark and I were seniors at Virginia Tech when we first started getting to know each other. And in his pursuit to get to know me a little better, he came over to my apartment one afternoon to do Tai Bo with me. For those of you who've never heard of Tai Bo, it was a workout routine on VHS cassette then. And it was with this fitness guru named Billy Blanks. There was a lot of kickboxing and martial arts. I'm guessing he felt a little ridiculous, this athlete of a guy who had probably never done a VHS workout routine prior to that. But for Mark, that wasn't just a best foot forward move. In a lot of ways, it's the core of who he is, a person who wants to enter into other people's worlds, learn who they are, and how to care for them and their soul. Whether he was leading a group of people overseas or on a mission trip, he was compassionate. And as you can imagine, with four daughters and a wife, emotions can run potentially high. And so he gets to practice this compassion on a regular basis. I love watching him with our daughters, asking them questions to help him discern what they're thinking and how to best guide them. Another trait that I've admired about Mark over the years is his optimism. Regardless of a difficult circumstance or an interrupted plan, he doesn't just sit and ruminate on the situation or just say, hey, let's look on the bright side. He moves forward in faith, resting in God's good and different plan. And finally, I love his pursuit of calling. From the moment he followed God into engineering for a short stint, to raising support for campus ministry position, and to accepting his current job in internet evangelism at Billy Graham, and now to join the elders here at Crossway. He has always moved forward in faith and obedience in what God has presented to him. Well, I can't let this opportunity to share pass without sharing a personal experience that I believe encapsulates who Mark is, living out his faith and love for the Lord. After my dad's diagnosis of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, my parents moved to Charlotte, and that was in 2016. And after about a year of continued decline, they came to us, asking about moving into a house with us. Without hesitation, Mark said yes. And over the next 6 months, we bought a house and we began renovating the basement of our new house so my parents could live there, with Mark doing as much of the work as he could. After my parents moved in, Mark wanted my dad to feel at home, and knowing how much my dad had loved to garden, Mark planted tomatoes on the patio for my dad to watch grow. He also hung bird feeders for him to watch. And he also helped my mom with the physical demands of my dad when needed. Hours before my dad passed, he asked to talk to Mark. He had some questions as he knew that his time here was drawing to an end. And Mark opened his Bible and he read to him and he prayed with him. There are no words to describe the awe and gratefulness that I still feel to this day of Mark's love, compassion, and selflessness during those difficult years. And now here we are today. Mark loves this church and the opportunities that he's already had here to lead and disciple and counsel. And God has used all of his journey to equip him for this call. And I'm so proud of him. And I'm grateful to God to walk out this life with him. He's a gift to me. Thank you, church, for praying for us through this process, and grateful to our pastors, how they have encouraged us and guided Mark. And grateful to be on this journey with all of you. As Ephesians 4:15, may we, the body, grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Praise be to our God.
Oh my, Leah, thank you. A big part of an elder's qualifications is who he is at home. And nobody knows that better than his wife. And so one of my favorite parts of these ordination times is just to hear the commendation of the wife, and what a wonderful job you did, Leah. And thank you for that last story that you told. Well, one of my joys as a regional leader in Sovereign Grace is to do ordinations throughout our region, but this one is extra special to me because it's my home church, and because it's a man like Mark, as a pastor who is near the end, it's so exciting. I mean, I'm not announcing I'm dying. I just need... Didn't want to give the wrong impression. So exciting to see a young man come along. And I have the privilege of giving a charge from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to speak largely to Mark, but I want all of you to listen, because like the excellent job Joe did, it's important that a church know not only what a pastor's called to do, but how he's called to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But, we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So Mark, here is my charge to you today. Never confuse the treasure with the vessel. Never confuse the treasure with the vessel. And just to make sure we're clear from the very beginning, you are not the treasure. Paul says, we have a treasure, but they're in jars of clay. And Paul isn't talking here about some fancy pottery or some valuable vase. He's talking about vessels for ordinary use, everyday use. The most expensive piece of pottery ever sold for $83,000, a Qing Dynasty vase was sold for $83 million. But that's not the picture that Paul is painting for us here. He's painting the picture of an ordinary clay pot that you could buy at Lowe's for 98 cents. And it's good to remember this about yourself, because the temptation to pride is in every one of us. It's in each and every one of us. To think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, to not think of ourselves with a sober judgment with which God wants us to think of ourselves. Humility about yourself and humility towards others, it will serve you in your pastoral ministry, and it will protect you in your pastoral ministry, and it will help you to better serve and protect these precious people that God is entrusting to your care. Humility about your sins, and humility about your weaknesses, and humility about your shortcoming, and most of all, humility about your very clayness, your very everydayness and ordinariness. Now, I need to speak to the church here for a moment, because what I'm talking about here is how a pastor is to think of himself, not how the church is to think of their pastor. You are to hold this man in the highest honor, not as something cheap or fragile or disposable. He's a man, like Joe read, to be highly honored among you. So a jar of clay, but always remember this. In that ordinary vessel lives a priceless treasure. The treasure, Paul explains, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel, more broadly, God's word. Don't miss this part in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, this is an amazing thing. The same word that God spoke that created the entire universe out of nothing, that very same word is powerful to save, it's powerful to mature, and it's powerful to keep God's people to the very end. In the pastoral epistles, Paul is constantly pointing Timothy and Titus back to God's word. Just listen to a couple, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And so in 4:2, he says, preach the word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." So Mark, in all of your preaching and your teaching and your counseling and your encouraging and you're correcting and you're leading and you're warning, there is only one thing of eternal value. There's nothing else and nothing better that you have to help you to do the task that God has called you to serve God's people, than God's word. You have nothing better to offer them, and you need nothing else to offer them than God's word. Now, there's many, many paradoxes in the Christian life, and this jars of clay and treasure is one of them. Because in the way that the world looks at these things, they would hear what I'm saying today and think, man, you're going to crush his self-esteem. You're going to ruin his confidence by speaking to him in that way. But in God's economy, it's just the opposite from how the world thinks. What a source of faith. What a source of hope for the pastor to know that my value, your value, our value, your effectiveness is not in you. It's not in the vessel. It's in the treasure. And if you'll just be faithful with that treasure, you will always be effective in this high calling that God is calling you to today. Your very clayness isn't a barrier to God working in you. Your very clayness is the very reason that God can work in you. And then God finishes here with a purpose. God did things this way. God arranged things this way for a purpose. He made this jars of clay and treasure, ordinary and priceless. He did this for a purpose, and that was this, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. See, a successful pastoral ministry, when you're in my place one day, when you're finished, a successful pastoral ministry isn't one where people are saying, isn't Mark Appleton a great pastor? A successful pastoral ministry is when people say, isn't Jesus great? Isn't the gospel great? Isn't of surpassing worth? And isn't God kind to give us a man like Mark Appleton, a jar of clay, who has faithfully and affectionately given us over the years a treasure? JJ, you can come, and we're going to do the official part of our ordination.
Mark, you can go ahead and come on up and join me. This is the part where we are going to be taking some vows. First, Mark is going to be taking some vows to commit to the things that the New Testament scriptures call elders to commit to. We have these vows that he's going to be taking to commit to do all of the things that we've been talking about from God's word. Mark is going to commit to do those, to be under the authority of God's word, to actually pastor and elder this church according to God's word, and that he is not going to try to do things in his own strength or in his own way or however he wants to do it. But Mark is committed alongside of all the rest of us elders who've all taken these vows to say, no, we are committed to pastoring this church according to what God's word says. We don't want to do something different. We don't want to create something new. We want to obey and submit to God's word, and we want to care for and lead the church according to God's word. And so first, I'm going to be asking Mark some questions, and he's going to respond. So you just have to say yes. You don't have to do the weird I do thing. And then after Mark is done taking vows, then we as members here at Crossway are also going to take vows to Mark. That we are going to respond to God's word as he teaches it. There's vows for caring for him and supporting him in the ministry that he has. And so I'll be walking us through the vows that we will then take as a church to partner with Mark as we walk through this together. So this is a privilege for me to walk this out with you, brother, and I'm excited for this. Yeah. All right, Mark, do you promise to shepherd the flock of God, not under compulsion, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock?
Yes.
Do you promise to faithfully guard the flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer? Do you promise to protect that flock from false teaching, division, and dissension?
Yes.
Do you promise to care for the flock of God, not as a hireling, but as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd, caring for his sheep as the precious ones for whom he died?
Yes.
Do you, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ in this church, promise to preach the word in season and out of season? Do you promise to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience, enduring suffering, while remaining sober-minded in all of your preaching and teaching? And will you do the work of an evangelist among those whom God has given you charge?
Yes.
Do you declare sincerely before God that you believe all the articles and points of doctrine contained in the Sovereign Grace Statement of Faith? Fully agree with the Scriptures. Do you own that statement as the statement and confession of your faith, and do you promise to teach and defend these doctrines in public and private?
Yes.
Do you promise further that if in the future you come to have reservations about any of these doctrines, you will share these reservations with your eldership and the regional assembly of elders?
Yes.
Do you promise to keep a close watch on yourself and to walk humbly before others, to be self-suspicious of your own motives, to invite criticism from others, and to make yourself accountable to those whom God has put in your life?
Yes.
Do you submit without exception to the explicitly mandated practices of the Sovereign Grace Book of Church Order, affirming that the form of government is a wise and suitable application of scriptural principles?
Yes.
And do you promise to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel and to show yourself in all respects, in action and in speech, to be a model of good works, integrity, and dignity, so that neither the church nor our Savior Jesus Christ nor the gospel may be brought into reproach?
Yes.
Do you promise to continually seek the gifts of the Spirit, that you might serve God's people not in the energy of the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to carry out your ministry without fear of men?
Yes.
Amen, brother. Amen. Church, if you were a member, would you actually please stand? Go ahead and stand if you're a member here at Crossway. And there's just four short questions that we are going to vow together this morning. So please join me as we affirm these things. Do you, the people of Crossway Community Church, receive Mark Appleton as your pastor?
Yes.
Do you promise to receive the word of truth from him with meekness and love, and to submit to him in the due biblical exercise of his leadership?
Yes.
Do you promise to supply him with whatever material support he may need to fulfill his ministry among you? And do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his ministry and leadership for your spiritual edification, the evangelization of the lost, and the promotion of God's glory? Amen. You may be seated. If all the elders want to join me, we're going to pray for Mark now. Welcome him in to our eldership.
It's a joy to pray for you, friend. Let's go to God together. Father, we thank you for Mark and Leah and the girls and the gift that their family is to our church. We praise you that you've called Mark to be an elder here. You've worked providentially in his life to this moment. We pray that you would send your Spirit to give him power for that which you have called him to. God, we pray for his heart and his relationship with you. The aim of any elder is love. God, that comes from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. God, we pray that you would deepen his faith. God, that his confidence in your word and its authority and effectiveness would grow. We pray that he would delight in your word. God, that as he gives himself to it in greater measure, God, he would know you more deeply. That he would be confident not in and of himself, but in you and your character. God, I pray that the gospel would be a delight to him. Christ, that you would be a comfort to his soul. That he would know you, God, and understand you and be shaped by you. God, we pray for his conscience, his relationship with you, that through your word and your Spirit, you would convict him of sin. God, that the path of repentance would be a path that he travels well, that he would walk in light, that he would be humble towards others, willing to grow with those you have brought alongside of him. God, we pray that you would guard his soul. God, that you would guard him from the enemy. God, that he would run to you as his comfort and his refuge and his delight. God, in his successes and failings and delights and sorrows. God, we pray that you would give him a pure heart. Give him your heart, that he would love what you love and hate what you hate, that he would see and value the world through your eyes, not that of his flesh. God, that you would give him a vision for what you are about in your world through your church. And God, that we would feel your heart through him in these ways. Lord, I pray that he would flourish in his soul as he steps into all that you have for him. Lord, we pray for his ministry. God, that you would deepen his resolve to love others, that he would lead and serve others at an expense to himself. That is what the gospel frees us to do, that he would have a willingness to suffer loss for others' good and joy and your glory in their life. God, as he teaches, we pray that he would proclaim Christ above all things, that he would be winsome and bold in his call to repentance and faith, that you would give him insight as he studies, clarity in his teaching in public and private. God, that he would encourage and warn and teach with all wisdom, that we might grow in maturity. Lord, that he would always point us outside ourselves to you, to the authority of your word and the sufficiency of your son. God, we pray as he leads that he would do that with vision and zeal and faith, with a heart to see you honored in and through our church, that he would raise leaders in this church. That's part of what you've called him to as an elder. God, that he would partner well with us as an elder team, that you would give him wisdom and humility as you lead us forward as a church. God, that he would guard the church with wisdom and clarity, desiring that we would live based off your word, and we will walk and maintain the unity that you already formed in us in Jesus by your spirit. May he fight for that. God, I pray that as he cares and shepherds, he would be attentive to the needs of your church. God, both physical and spiritual. God, that we would feel your heart for us through him. God, that you would give him wisdom and insights, patience and graciousness, boldness, but above all things, a trust in you and a wonder and an awe that he might care and be called to shepherd your people. God, may do all these things with joy. We thank you for this church and the gift that they are to all of us. I pray that as Mark ministers here, he would know the joy of partnering with you and what you are doing here, the joy of sacrifice, the freedom of not living for himself, but for you and for others' sake. God bless this man. We thank you for him. In your name, amen.
To commemorate our day today, we have a certificate of ordination that we will be presenting to Mark, as well as a gift for him. You don't need to open it in front of everybody yet right now. but just to commemorate the marking of today, as John is so beautifully displaying here for us this morning, to officially welcome Mark as an elder here at Crossway. Mark, you are now a pastor, I guess.
Thank you, but sit down.
Thanks.
No, I am grateful. So what, 15, 20 minutes, something like that? Yeah. Truly humbling moment. Thinking about this morning, it's a little, experiencing this in two ways. One is just another moment in God's journey with me and a next step of ministry, and yet also there's a uniqueness to this. Because about 12 years ago, I thought God was calling me to be a pastor. And I've been following all these steps of obedience, a pastor of a local church, a specific congregation. And so that journey, which has gone in unexpected directions, has led to today when he's allowing that to take place. And the humble reality of the stewardship of that means to care for you, to lead you in truth, to point you to hope, and to reveal the treasure the best that I can. And that's my hope. I really hope you see through this clay pot. And I apologize now for the moments when I distract you with it. And I'm not as humble as I should be. And I miss it and I get selfish. But that is my hope. I think JJ had asked me, well, if you say something that was expectations for the future, I have a lot of hope for the future for this church. Not some big program, but I have hope because the gospel of God is powerful and true. It is alive. The word of God is living and active and wants to penetrate your life and change you. I have hope that we are going to experience freedom from brokenness and pain, freedom from bitterness, reconciliation in relationships, salvation, people's hearts awakened to new life, mission to send the gospel forth into our community and around the world. And you know why I have that hope? Because that's just who God is. That's what he wants for his church. It's not some special plan for us. That's what we as the church are called to be and what we're called to do. And as a pastor, I'm called to point you to just hold up Jesus and yes, trust him. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, cling to the truth. Persevere. Don't give up. And the Spirit of God will awaken things in you. He will bring freedom. He will heal. He will lead. He will restore. And he will pour himself out into other people and awaken their hearts to truth. Because we are a people that he has called, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And we're to proclaim the excellencies of the one who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that's our calling as God's people. And it's a humbling privilege to be a part of the team that'll lead you in that, encourage you in that, point you to it day in and day out. And we will see God move because he cares more for his glory than any plans that we have. And he will bring it about. So thank you, church. Thanks for welcoming me. Thank you, Ing. Thank you for that humble vow that you just gave, and I look forward to seeing what God does.
This morning, though a unique Sunday, is just another Sunday that reminds us of God's goodness, his kindness, reminds us of what Christ has done for us in building a people, uniting us together and giving us gifts. I hope this morning once again restored you in some way, healed your soul, reminded you of the beauty of who Christ is and what he's doing in this world. And there's no better way to commemorate a unique Sunday than by eating donuts afterwards. At least that's what I was told. So we have donuts. Gentlemen, don't forget tonight we have a men's meeting, but before we close, let's all stand and let me announce a benediction for us to send us out with God's word this morning. A benediction that I think is both appropriate for Mark in particular, but also for us as the church. From Hebrews 13, after the author of Hebrews reminds us of the relationship between pastors and churches, he goes on to offer this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Love you, church. Let's enjoy some donuts together.